Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
And finally this evening, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss is our markets expert. Viv, appreciate the time. We saw some first round results out earlier today. I mean, they're making money. We've seen it from Nedbank. If I look broadly at results that are coming out from SA Inc, Spur, Cashbuild, Curo, the list goes on and on and on. They're making money, but they are struggling. We're now in, a decade of zero growth. We've still got high interest rates. This really is an economy that is creaking. And cracking.
Yes, it is. I mean, the South African consumer is under a great deal of pressure at the moment. And you can see that coming through with a number of different indicators. Like you mentioned, I mean, Curo had numbers showing that there was almost no growth in enrollments coming through. As you mentioned, with regards to a lot of the retailers as well, a lot of pressure on the consumer there. Even in the old mutual numbers that came out, I think the stuff that like really helped them was like insurance, which I think people are essentials. Like people might be focusing more on that as opposed to anything else. But yeah, I do think that the consumer's under pressure. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you had to look at real growth in terms of the economy, it has not kept up with population growth for, like you said, over a decade. And that means per person, people are poorer right now than they have been a decade ago.
Yeah, there is literally less money in the pocket. I want to go offshore. I want to touch on CrowdStrike. I don't know how closely you follow it. It was another example of, much like we saw with NVIDIA, good results, beating expectations, market sold them off. My sense, however, is that AI is obviously the big story in tech, but cybersecurity, surely, and equally, maybe not as big, but a big part of the investment universe and a sector worth looking into.
Steve, I'm actually quite familiar with CrowdStrike. It's one of the biggest parts of my portfolio. I actually purchased it after that disaster they had last year when the share price crashed.
I purchased it just before, but anyway, I held on.
I got it at about 220. But yeah, so it's done really well for me. Yeah, look, I mean, I think with cybersecurity, it's very important because, I mean, if you look at just the kind of information that the people are asking these AI systems at the moment, like, health information, relationship advice, financial advice, et cetera, you would have to have an incredibly secure system in order to, because it won't just be like, in the olden days where you would, where you'd hack someone's email and you might know a few things about them. Yeah, you'd basically be hacking the brain of their closest confidant, their closest advisor. And I think in that environment, these cybersecurity kind of companies are going to be really in demand. And we saw, there were purchase offers made by Google to another one of these providers out there, basically based on the idea that once inference becomes a real big issue, you probably want to have, your own cybersecurity division yourself.
And the key thing with the likes of CrowdStrike, I mean, you mentioned that disaster last year. It was July last year. They did an update. It goes to the kernel and it bricked about 8 million Windows machines around the world, including some for airlines and other critical. That almost hasn't been a setback because it's so important and because they become so entrenched. One of the numbers they talk about is that 67% of their customers use five or more modules. They've got about 20 plus modules, I think. They become completely entrenched and very difficult for a client or a customer to change.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I mean, this is one of the things that you really can't mess around with because, you have to be absolutely airtight or as airtight as you can be and constantly updating as well because of the fact that, people are always looking for new exploits of your software and your systems. And so it's going to be extremely difficult to seamlessly change from one to another, because in the meantime, who knows what issues could be caused. I mean, if you were to switch from CrowdStrike to somebody else, the chance of a disaster like last year, July, was going to be quite high. And if you do switch, I mean, what happens in the meantime? What happens when you have, that switch over period? And, those issues are, I think, what keeps these kind of companies extremely sticky. But looking at the price, I mean, if you look at it where it was before that crash, the share price is pretty much about 5-6% down from that point.
Yeah.
So, yes, it has recovered quite nicely. And, if you had bought it right after the crash, you'd be doing really well right now, up 60%+. But, if you had to look at it compared to some of the other, internet companies out there, especially AI-related companies, unfortunately, it has to some extent suffered from that particular setback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is. I mean, as you say, it's had a sell-off. It got to 450. It's had a sell-off the last few weeks, but it is trading back at where it was just ahead of that July crisis. As I said, I think I'm flat on it. I think I'm exactly sideways, but that's fine. I like it. I carry on holding it. Let's stay offshore. Let's touch on tariffs. President Trump, I'm actually not sure where we stand right now and who is or isn't tariffed. But how are you, if at all, sort of adjusting your portfolio? I mean, how are you, every morning morning I wake up, I look at my Twitter stream to see what's the new country with tariffs, and it is almost impossible to manage.
Yeah, this is one of those things. I mean, you can argue many things that Trump is doing kind of makes sense. I mean, what Doge is doing, you may argue that it's cruel and in certain ways, you know, mm-hmm. it's not the most efficient way to do it. But you can definitely say that, you know, it's probably, you know, has an argument behind it. Some of the stuff that they're doing around, for instance, you know, regulatory changes, you know, cutting back on staff members and so on in certain areas probably would longer term boost economic growth. I have absolutely no idea why he's picking a fight with Canada and Mexico. It makes no sense at all. I mean, you talk about, you know, Greenland as a strategic, you know, asset and whatnot, and, you know, for minerals and whatnot. Canada is Greenland times 10. It is just more important. It's bigger. It's nearer. It has all the things you would think that, you know, the U.S. would want. I suspect, quite frankly, it's a case of personal grievances. Mm-hmm. Like, when people argue, why is he so anti-Ukraine, and they talk about maybe he's pro-Russia and whatnot, I don't even think it goes that far. I think it goes back to the fact that he had that Burisma issue with Biden back in the day, and, you know, Ukraine turned against him, and he's probably holding a grudge from that. I think doesn't like Trudeau because of what's happened with regards to, you know, again, the last couple, you know, years with regards to Canada and the closeness, I think, with Biden and that kind of stuff. And I think that might be something. And some people may think he's also argues maybe jealous of Trudeau's, you know, good looks and, you know, youth and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think to a lot of extent, some of the things that drives his particular, you know, moves are personal. I mean, you wouldn't think that, you know, major geopolitical things like Ukraine is due to a personal issue. But I think with Trump, it probably is.
Yeah, you wouldn't, but it quite possibly is. Last question. Brent, trading below $70 a barrel, which is nice for motorists in South Africa. Our petrol and diesel prices come down. It's also telling us, though, surely, either that there is some weak global growth and or the market is expecting weak global growth, which really is, in many senses, a byproduct of tariffs.
Oh, yes. I mean, we have seen a little bit of recovery come through. But yeah, it's a three-year low. And yeah, I think it's what we saw was the rising U.S. Inventories, which is obviously a negative. And I've seen some really scary numbers around U.S. growth rates for the first quarter.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen them as well. Yeah. You know, quite negative. And look, I mean, like I mentioned, things like Doge. I mean, Doge is looking to cut like 200,000-300,000 jobs. That's not insignificant, even in a country the size of the U.S. Mm. You know, tariffs are going to cause global growth to be under pressure. It's going to cause people to change supply chains. The kind of stuff that's happening right now is going to have negative economic impacts, and that is going to translate into things like demand for oil. I think we're starting to see some of the stuff come through. I do think also, you know, you shouldn't be too, like, you know, concerned about oil price or too happy with oil prices being as low as they are. I suspect with some of Trump's possible moves in places like, for instance, the Middle East, you could see it spike. But on the other hand, you know, also on the converse side, you could even see it fall again if he gets Russia's oil back in the market.
Yeah, also, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, but Brent back at November 2021 levels. Leave it there. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.